Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Greetings, Grapple fans, and welcome along to another episode of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the AI podcast channel. I cannot even pretend to know what episode this is because I never keep up with that thing. But honestly, I will find out at some point and we will try to keep track of things because we are most certainly approaching the magical 100. And when we get there,
87,
there you go. So when we do finally get there, we'll have some kind of big celebration in some fashion. Who knows? Anyway, as you're now aware, anyway, my audio tag team partner, Mo Chatterer, is with me once again. Good evening, Mo.
Good evening. 87. Yeah, I like the sound of that. How are you doing? Good to have you back, Handy.
Yeah, I'm okay. It's good to be back. I won't break into that song because that's just that, you know. Yeah, we don't go there. the Syndex, maybe we'll bring that back for PWI 100, just specially for Guy. We'll bring back the Pro Wrestling Syndex. I'm sure he'll appreciate that. anyway, Mo, not an awful lot to talk about at the moment. A few bits and pieces, some things that we will get through. There is a pay-per-view this weekend, actually. I will admit that I didn't realise until today that Fastlane is actually happening on Sunday. That's just how excited I am about it. What about yourself, Mo? Are you really, really anticipating with feverish excitement the Fastlane pay-per-view this weekend?
Oh, I can't contain my excitement. It's the equivalent of Liverpool getting to the Champions League final and not being able to sleep until that day comes. So, yeah, it really is amazing. And our feelings, I think, are shared across wrestling social media as well. Everyone's just absolutely buzzing for the show.
Social media is lit up at the anticipation of Fastlane, but then again, maybe not, or Slow Lane as it might as well be called, or just a 3-hour episode of SmackDown as it might as well be called. But anyway, we'll get to that. We will preview the event. We'll go through the card. It shouldn't take too long because there's not an awful lot. And in all honesty, we've seen a lot of it already. But anyway, first things first. This past week on Raw, things took a bit of a turn. I mean, it had been rumored for quite some time that we could see Ronda Rousey face Stephanie McMahon in her debut match. Now, obviously, her debut match is going to be at WrestleMania, and I think that's kind of smart from WWE. It's an attraction, isn't it? It's a special event. Ronda Rousey making her in-ring debut for WWE. There's going to be a lot of interest from media, so why not do it at WrestleMania? It certainly helps bring some more into it. But for it to be against Steph, I think that was a bit of a disappointment for some people, but then for it to become Stephanie and Triple H versus Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle, I think there's possibly a lot of fans are like, oh no, why does it have to be like this? How do you feel more? Do you think this is, you know, almost like a groaning sense of predictability, or do you think WWE are kind of playing it safe with this one?
Well, I think that the way that it's all shaped up is purely to give some publicity to the McMahons and Stephanie in particular. The whole angle was designed, I feel, to get her over as something that can transcend into the mainstream. Obviously, Ronda Rousey is a mainstream star. You know, she made her name, obviously, in UFC, mixed martial arts. But because of how charismatic she is and what a great fighter she was, you know, her popularity transcended UFC very quickly, and it caught on like wildfire, and you know, landed her parts in movies and, you know, TV and sponsorships, adverts, etc. So she has become a mainstream name in the United States, and you know, it's therefore a big coup for the WWE to secure her services for the foreseeable future. And whilst she's still hot, and while she's still a mainstream name, why not give Stephanie the rub, as we call it in the wrestling business? And I think that was clear that was the intention all along. I think they would have wanted to run an angle with Rousey sooner. Obviously, they initially had that interaction at WrestleMania 31 some 3 years ago. And I think they perhaps hoped to do something the following year at the WrestleMania, likely involving The Rock, because obviously he was involved in the original angle. But that never transpired. And they fast forward 3 years to now in the present time. I think The Rock has got various other commitments that just don't allow him to work WrestleMania. So Kurt Angle is The Rock for the purpose of the storyline. And I think it will be a spectacle. I think the WWE will try to make the most of the match, and have already probably started planning with their best people, the likes of Pat Patterson, for example, and Michael Hayes, to put together a really, notable match full of bells and whistles, and something that will certainly leave fans feeling pretty impressed, given that obviously it will have one rookie who's never worked a wrestling match in her life, and another who's really obviously a performer but not a wrestling performer. And then obviously you've got two other wrestlers there who are absolutely part-time, bordering on the verge of retirement. So, you know, it again is a feature match for the WrestleMania card, which features talent that, with one exception, won't be regulars, you know, in the ring, on TV and at the shows. But that these days is not really something to be overly surprised about. But I think the WWE will do a good job, and I think it will be a fun match. It certainly won't be threatening to be the match of the night or even match of the weekend, but it will be what it will be, and I'm pretty sure that they won't allow it to be an embarrassment or a farce, because with Stephanie involved, that just won't be allowed to happen.
No, I do think, though, that, you know, Stephanie's clearly very limited in terms of in-ring work. And as you mentioned, you know, Ronda Rousey's never performed, you know, publicly in any kind of a wrestling match. Obviously, she'll have been working behind the scenes, honing her craft, you know, perfecting it and working on it. But this, the fact that you've got two, not just seasoned veterans, but, you know, two of the modern day greats in there with them, you know, to work the match as well, means obviously that they don't have to be exposed. You know, neither woman has to be exposed in this match. It can be for short periods. And I guess it's quite smart, really, in that it gives Ronda Rousey the opportunity to be in short periods and be very impactful, and just, I guess, just really getting across, selling it to the crowd, you know, just what a big deal she is, you know, rather than overexpose her and people come away from the first match thinking, oh my God, she's really green.
That's right, yeah. No, they will do everything to make sure that Rousey in particular is protected. Obviously, they have huge plans for her as a regular talent. And, you know, she will be one of the biggest stars, certainly pushed as one of the biggest stars in the company. And I think it's important for the women's division as well, for the division to have a talent in Rousey who is so popular, you know, to the wider public beyond just the WWE audience. So, you know, they absolutely won't want to make a poor first impression with the work that she has to do in the ring. And I'm sure that whatever she has to do, they've already decided what that work will be, what those spots will entail, and I'm sure she has been practicing those. In fact, I do know that she has been training at the Performance Center in Florida for a number of months, and interestingly, her husband has been involved in that, and who's also a UFC fighter, Travis Brown. So that may suggest that he could possibly get involved in the match as well, but we'll see. But yeah, I'm pretty sure that by now, you know, this close to the show, they know exactly what the layout of the match is, and they have been practicing it, you know, intensively. And I'm sure that Stephanie has also been spending time down in Florida at the Performance Center, getting ready for the match, so that by the time the event rolls around, you know, they'll be able to perform the match with their eyes closed. I mean, as I say, it won't be, you know, anything like an amazing match, but I'd be shocked if it isn't anything less than, you know, a perfectly acceptable match. And, you know, with Angle and Triple H, as you say, you know, those are very seasoned veterans, and they should in themselves ensure that, you know, it turns out to be a pretty decent showing. So I've got no doubt it will be a fine match, but just a shame that it will be possibly the main event of the show, and if not, then certainly the semi-main event. And, you know, that kind of a spot is, in my view, something that's better and more effective to be the preserve of the full-time talents that are there week in, week out. But maybe that's just me.
Yeah, I'm sure there's an argument, I'm sure we'll have closer to the time. Also on Raw, now, I mean, it started last week with Roman Reigns giving putting in a really good promo, in a shoot style promo on Brock Lesnar, getting some things across, you know, really start to stir it up. I guess trying to get across that, that Roman Reigns is going to be this very, a bit more of an edgy character. Perhaps even a hint of trying to get the crowd to turn somewhat on Brock Lesnar, and the style of Paul Heyman's promo and some of the things that we said also hint towards that they're going to try and get the crowd to turn against Brock Lesnar with this. So it's, it looks as though it could be quite an intriguing contest. However, you're hearing that perhaps this contest might not even happen more. I mean, can you tell us more about that involving Roman Reigns and potentially Braun Strowman?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, a lot of fans are watching Raw week in, week out, scratching their heads thinking, right, so we're getting very close now to WrestleMania, and yet it's still not clear what Braun Strowman will be doing at WrestleMania. Why have we not heard anything about a match? Why is it still a bit ambiguous about exactly what the direction is for him? And, you know, make no doubt about it, Strowman is one of the hottest stars in the company. So for such an important talent to the company, you'd expect by now, less than 4 weeks out, the company to have very clear, just over a month out from the show, very clear, firm plans for Strowman. But there's a good reason why there is some ambiguity. So in the background, there's been a story that's been rumbling for several weeks now, whereby Roman Reigns was named as one of the quote-unquote celebrity clients of somebody called Richard Rodriguez, who has a company called Wellness Fitness Nutrition. And there was a leak made which reported that certain names would come out as clients of this individual who had been distributing steroids and other similar physique enhancing or performance enhancing drugs to athletes, celebrities, wrestlers. And Roman Reigns is one of the people that whose name came out as part of this. And in the last couple of weeks, there's a filmmaker called John Bravo who've been filming Rodriguez and almost creating a documentary of sorts on him and his work, who claims that he has video evidence about Roman Reigns is a client and almost a customer of this Richard Rodriguez. Now, this is supposed to be coming out this week. Now we're into Thursday. Still haven't heard anything or seen anything. And it might be something that is released through an outlet like TMZ, or it might just go straight onto YouTube. And that's assuming that this footage even exists. If it does exist, it will be a major, major embarrassment to the WWE. As you know, and as we've discussed on countless occasions, they're very, very precious about their image. You know, it's their product is presented largely in a PG way, and
just one thing as well is, you know, you talk about their image, you know, coming out in the mainstream. Now they're going to be debuting Ronda Rousey in ring at WrestleMania, so can you imagine how that would seem? You know, where the media gathered there to see the debut of Ronda Rousey. And, you know, if this kind of stuff comes out at the same time revolving the guy that's in the main event fighting for their championship.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It won't play out well at all. So for that reason, in case the shit really does hit the fan, the WWE reportedly is keeping its options open about the main event at WrestleMania, sorry, the Universal Championship match at WrestleMania. And if things get really bad from a publicity point of view for Reigns, they won't fire him or release him. But what they will likely do is pull him out of the match and go with Strowman as the opponent for Lesnar. And, you know, Strowman is a person I actually wanted to win the Elimination Chamber match, and I wanted him to be the opponent for Lesnar. But the thing is, they're keeping their options open at this stage, and that's why we've heard nothing about any opponent for Strowman. So that's certainly one to keep an eye on. By this time next week, when we record Pro Wrestling Index again, there could have been some significant happenings in this story. Or alternatively, nothing might break. There might be the possibility that certain parties are looking to keep the story quiet, and if they are looking to keep it quiet, they'll do what it takes to make sure it doesn't go beyond the small circle of people that are aware of what's going on. But it is certainly something to keep an eye on, and it could have some major repercussions for the top matches at WrestleMania. But at this stage, I would still estimate that Roman Reigns is going to be the opponent for Lesnar. But as I say, you know, after we even finish recording this, that video might hit TMZ, and then come tomorrow, as we record this, Roman Reigns could be out of that Universal Championship match. So it's one to keep an eye out for, and you know, Strowman might yet end up in that match, so who knows? Let's just wait and see.
Do you think there's a possibility this is why we've seen the storyline at the beginning with John Cena teasing, you know, he's back and forth on the different shows, being involved in, you know, the Chamber. He's, you know, he's calling out matches here, there and everywhere, almost holding off arranging, you know, a booking Cena against perhaps Braun Strowman, finding a way of delaying that just to make sure that either this story does or, well, where this story is or it isn't going to be coming out in time. Do you think there's a possibility that's why we've had this kind of delay with Cena? Because it seems a strange way to go, you know, this to-ing and fro-ing with John Cena when there were rumours around some time ago that we could see Cena and Strowman at WrestleMania.
Yeah, that's certainly a possibility as well. Again, you know, depending on what happens with Strowman, that might be dictating the similar level of ambiguity around the situation with Cena and about whether he will be working the show even. I've no doubt he will, but I think I just want to see how the whole Reigns situation pans out. And there's potentially a domino effect there if he does have to be pulled out of that match for publicity reasons. Strowman then goes into the Universal Championship match. And if Reigns is still going to work against Lesnar, then perhaps it will be Strowman against Cena, I think, as you suggested a couple of weeks ago. So, it is a bizarre situation in certain respects, because normally a month out from WrestleMania, you almost always know what at least the key matches will be, if not nearly the whole show. And yet, at this stage, and as I say, we're only a month away from WrestleMania, we still don't know what most of the matches are. So that is strange. But I'm sure that the WWE won't want this to drag out for more than a couple of weeks. So the card should certainly start taking shape in the next week and a half.
Yeah, it certainly should. I mean, and on that, you know, the card taking shape, that brings us on to Fastlane then, because this will, I think, for most people, really confirm some of the matches that we're expecting to get. Certainly in terms of the WWE title, we know that Shinsuke Nakamura will be fighting the WWE champion at WrestleMania. Obviously, we expect that to be AJ Styles, but the WWE being the WWE, who knows, they may find a way of messing things around a little bit, you know, just to play with us, because us old, what is it, the internet wrestling community or whatever they call us, you know, we like to be punished or whatever. So how do I quite have you put this, Fastlane? I think, as I mentioned, you know, at the top of the show, it feels like really what we're going to get is a 3-hour edition of SmackDown, because we've seen so much of the card fight each other on SmackDown week after week after week. We're actually not going to get Becky Lynch, Naomi and Charlotte against the Riot Squad that we seem to have got every week for the past sort of month and a half. But we are going to get Becky Lynch and Naomi against Natalya and Carmella. And Carmella has still got the briefcase. So do you think more that... Do you think there's something here as the way to... But this is going to be something to get Carmella back into the focus, and we're going to get the briefcase before WrestleMania? Or do you think we might see her cash in at WrestleMania?
I think they'll wait till after WrestleMania. I think that it would make so little sense for Carmella to be involved in any of the featured matches at WrestleMania. Certainly since Ellsworth disappeared, she's been of even less interest than she was before when he was around. At least when he was around, some of the stuff they did together was mildly amusing, but since he's gone, there's really little in the way of redeeming qualities to her as an act, her as an in-ring performer, her full stop. So I'd be surprised. You can't rule it out. They might just decide, okay, let her try and cash in. And then that cash in attempt is unsuccessful. Similar to what they did with, Baron Corbin a few months ago, where he was in the doghouse for a few weeks and then he cashed in unsuccessfully. And then that whole angle, that whole storyline with him was over. I'd be surprised if that happens. It's just a way to get these individuals on. And that just makes me so glad that these split brand shows are ending now. And we're going back to the dual brand shows, because you know, it means that we're having to be treated to cards as uninspiring and dead as this one. But Becky Lynch and Naomi Natalia versus Natalia and Carmella in the opening tag match. No thanks. It will just not be very interesting. It might feature a couple of decent spots, but it's the kind of match you'll just forget about a minute after you've watched it. It really will be.
Yeah, exactly.
Couldn't care less who wins. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I feel the same. I'm just wondering that, you know, I look through the card, I look at the women's roster in SmackDown and the way that that's been handled, the way SmackDown itself's been handled, really. But certainly the way that the women's division in SmackDown's been handled, that it's almost as though there's nothing. You know, you can't see a program really realistically for Charlotte at WrestleMania. And I do wonder whether or not we might see Carmella cash in the briefcase at Fastlane, win the title, and then the WrestleMania match is Charlotte winning her title back from Carmella. That's how uninspiring things really are.
Yeah, no, I mean, they are. And it just goes to show how pointless it is to have split women's division, because you know this entire SmackDown women's division is just so...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You know, completely uninspiring. It's just dead, completely dead. There's just nothing to it whatsoever.
It's just lacking intrigue and interest. And, you know, I think Charlotte, for me, Charlotte as a babyface doesn't really work. I don't think she's a natural babyface. I think she's so much more suited to being a heel. It just kind of suits her character, and it suits the ways that she carries herself so much more. You know, and she's facing Ruby Riott, defending the title against Ruby Riott. And this is a program that's kind of been sort of stretched out over the last so many weeks, but has not been inspiring at all. I don't think it's really grabbing anybody. And so you can't see a title change there. So you just think, beyond this title match, what is there for Charlotte? Realistically, what is there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what will probably happen is that Charlotte will retain the title I'd be shocked if they decide to move the title to Ruby. Ruby's an okay talent, but you know, she still comes across to me as a bit too indie-rific, which is not a flattering term that I tend to use for talents who've come up from the independents and still have certain indie type tendencies about them. And you know, to me, Ruby still doesn't come across like a major league act. And I think she still needs to work on character, her promos, and her in-ring. But I'm sure that will all come along in due course. But as a champion, absolutely not. I'd be stunned if she does win the title. I think Charlotte will retain. As for where she goes from here, and certainly for WrestleMania at the very least, I wouldn't be surprised if it's some multi-women's match with Charlotte defending the title. And, you know, that's because there's really nobody that stands out as a great rival. They might decide to go with Charlotte against Becky, against Natalia, against Ruby in a four-way or something like that. But it really wouldn't be, it would probably be the least anticipated match of the entire WrestleMania card.
And counterproductive as well, I think.
That's right. And that's exactly why they need to shuffle the rosters again straight after WrestleMania. They just can't carry on with this. SmackDown is really suffering, and it's in urgent need of repair.
Yeah, can they shuffle the creative around? Because there's enough talent there. They've got 2 hours, which is a nice tight show. There's real opportunity there with the talent that they've got at hand, and they're just doing such a terrible job of booking it. And the way that they seem to intertwine Shane McMahon with too many of these storylines, you know, and you know, we've had the WWE title, we've had main event as great talents being used effectively as props in a battle between Shane and Daniel Bryan, with no sign of a match between them. And I really feel like the show has suffered, and the roster as a whole has suffered as a byproduct as we've gone along this pointless journey.
Yeah, I mean, certainly at this stage, it's not looking like we're going to see Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon in a match, which just begs a question about why we've had to endure this storyline between the two. You know, over the last 4 or 5 months, it only made sense if a match was going to be the end result, and it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And it might be that they've just decided that under no circumstances is Daniel Bryan going to be allowed to work a match for the company. And if that's the attitude, if that's the case, well, Daniel Bryan's contract expires in 6 months and he'll just be gone. And he'll have plenty of offers from elsewhere. It's no secret he wants to get back in the ring. And if he does, then, you know, he'll be completely inundated with offers. But not only that, he'll probably be able to make more money elsewhere than he currently is working this general manager gimmick on SmackDown. So, you know, the WWE's got a decision to make. Either just keep him and let him do what he loves, or let him go, and if he goes, he'll find work with no problem whatsoever.
Exactly, yeah. Other pointless things, we've got Shinsuke Nakamura against Rusev. Now, you know, it's such a shame that such a unique talent like Shinsuke Nakamura is in a match that we would label pointless. And I really do feel they've handled him so badly since he came up from NXT. He was white hot coming out of there. They've moved him up, and he was initially white hot. The crowds were singing his anthem in the first couple of weeks that he came out. But I really feel they've handled him so badly. You know, it helped him obviously win in the Rumble, but they've not done much since then. And now he's in a match that is pretty much meaningless with Rusev, who's got over so well with the crowd. It was almost Rusev and Aiden English, you know, the whole Rusev Day thing is a lot of fun. And it's almost that they've got themselves over, you know, the crowd's decided they want to be a part of this, but the WWE don't seem to know what to really do with it other than the genius of bringing out a calendar that every day is Rusev Day. And I love that. But, you know, it's I just feel that this match, this should be something to look forward to. But it's like, you know, the rest of the card, it just feels pointless. And it's such a shame with two really talented guys in there.
I mean, this is, you know, perhaps the clearest evidence yet that the writers have got no idea what they're doing. Because if they did, you just wouldn't book a match like this. You've got, as you say, somebody who's coming off the Rumble with a really strong performance, got over fantastically well, you know, heading into WrestleMania for a shot at the WWE Championship, and then they book him against another babyface, essentially, in Rusev. You know, at least put him in there in the ring with somebody that the fans will, you know, not respond well to, you know, to kind of keep that momentum going. Whereas the danger here is that, you know, fans will root for the cult babyface in Rusev, and obviously the magnificent Aiden English. And, you know, there might be mini backlash perhaps against Nakamura. I wouldn't think it'd be a major thing, but, you know, who are they going to side with more? And they might just get a slightly unexpected reaction towards Nakamura. It's just unnecessary. It's just a complete throwaway match, really.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, I mean, you make a good point there about the fan reaction. I think rather than, you know, sort of any sort of come back towards Nakamura, I think it'll be more of that the crowd will actually cheer some of Rusev's offense. And it's just that whole psyche, like you say, it's the wrong, you know, for a major babyface heading into the biggest match, you know, of the year. This is not the preparation that you should be looking at.
No, it's not. No, you know, and if they couldn't come up with anything meaningful for him, then it perhaps would have been better to have him not take part in the show at all, just to build the anticipation of that major match at WrestleMania. And it will be an amazing match, or at least it should be, given the last time they worked together at the start of 2016 at the New Japan Tokyo Dome show, January 4th, where they had an unbelievable match. And if what they do at WrestleMania comes close to that, then we're really in for a treat. But that seems a world away when you look at the card from Fastlane. And that match really is pointless in various respects, and something that, you know, I'm not really greatly looking forward to, other than hearing Aiden English sing, and that would just about be the highlight of that match.
Yeah, I think many people are looking forward to that. It's he's become a cult character, and you know, props to the guy for working at getting himself over the way that he has. Tag team championship match. Now the Usos are facing the New Day. I'm a bit torn on this more because these two teams had some fantastic matches last year. They had some brilliant matches. They were really hot at the time as well. The Usos were great as a heel tag team at that moment. The New Day were still great as baby faces. The Usos now seem to have transitioned into being baby faces, but kind of cool bad boy baby faces. Whereas the New Day, I feel like they're tired now. And I'm not really sort of keen on seeing these two teams have this match again. And it's a shame to say that, considering the great matches that they had. I just feel that it's like, oh, we're going back there now. We're going back there. And I feel like the New Day really do need something to change it up. You know, they really do need to change a dynamic, because it just feels a bit stale. The whole sort of routine, it's too much. Every single, like SmackDown, you know, we're seeing the same thing every week. The pancakes that irritate me. This should not see a title change. And for me, this match should instead see New Day take a turn and give us something to be excited and interested about over the coming weeks.
Yeah, no, I agree. We saw it plenty of times during 2017. And whilst the match was invariably of a very high standard, if you see the same match too often, then with the law of diminishing returns applied, you just get less and less thrilled by what you're being treated to. And I've got no doubt that, again, what they'll produce this Sunday will be a very, very fine match. But at this stage, who really cares? We've seen these two at it for a long time, on and off now, and we really do need something different. But perhaps they felt that the Bludgeon Brothers weren't quite ready for that, tag team title shot. But then again, we've seen them involved in the shenanigans between Usos and New Day, so I wouldn't be surprised if they put in an appearance of some sort, either during or after the match, and they might even play a part in the outcome of it. And if they do, it might just result in a title change, which possibly might lead to a three-way title match at WrestleMania. But again, it will be a match that will go into WrestleMania without much in the way of heat. Again, the SmackDown tag team division and the championship itself is feeling cold because of the generally poor booking of the show itself, on the more broader front. And this is a real, real problem for the WWE because, as you said earlier, they've got a lot of fine talent on the SmackDown roster. It's just that the booking is so poor, nobody's really over, and certainly not as over as they should be. And it just makes the whole show feel like it lacks momentum and real impetus and direction. A bit like Manchester United, I guess. So
I had to get a dig in.
Yeah. That's it. It's coming up this weekend. Has to come
yeah. So. Yeah. They are the footballing equivalent of Fastlane. Yeah. Yeah.
Certainly the Mourinho version.
Yeah. So what about the US title then? I know that a match that I know you'll be excited to see because it involves Randy Orton, one of your favorites. Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. No Jinder Mahal in this though. I'm not excited by this, not in any way. And again, Bobby Roode, another one who they've, for my money, they've handled they've really, really handled him badly since he came up from NXT. I mean, the level of ineptitude, it is significant in terms of what they've done with him. He's a heel character. That's what he is. He's not a natural babyface. He keeps trying to smile, and he's playing the white meat babyface, and that is not Bobby Roode. The Bobby Roode that people adored. Yeah, they sang along to his song, but he still got heat because of the way he got over as an obnoxious character. And there was money in that. And, even if it wasn't at main event level with a US title, there's money in Bobby Roode being the obnoxious character that he was in NXT. This, this babyface Bobby Roode is not good. And it's a real shame. And the babyface character of Bobby Roode against a dull, bland Randy Orton is just it's a recipe for snoring, I guess.
yeah. Well, even just thinking about it making me feel a bit drowsy and longing for a bit of a kip. Yeah, I'm just not excited about this one at all. the build up to it has been cold. Even the go home angle was very strange on SmackDown this week. We had the opening segment involving a pretty decent promo, admittedly, between Ruby Riott and Charlotte, and then it was interrupted by Bobby Roode just as Ruby and her minions were about to attack Charlotte, and then she was standing there gushing like a blushing kind of schoolgirl whose favorite pop star has just turned up. And then the next thing you know, Bobby Roode's sitting there at ringside, Charlotte's disappeared, and we're into a match between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. And just to really heat up the match for the US Championship, Orton loses to Jinder. So I'm just completely just indifferent to
this match. I haven't watched it yet, and I'm perplexed just by hearing that. Honestly, I just wonder what it is that they're doing in these what do you call it, sessions, when they're writing, when they're coming up with these ideas, or you know, or whoever it is that that gives the say so on ideas, or and actually gives the final edits on what's going to be in the show. I don't know what they're taking, what they're smoking, what they're drinking. God knows what it is, but Jesus.
Well, I tried to think, but wherever it is, it's not working very well.
I quill.
That's it. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they go with the title change, just because I don't see title changes occurring earlier in the show. And I'd imagine they'd want to get at least one title change into the show. So of all of the matches where title is at stake, I would expect this to be the one where we do see a title change. And, you know, that's compounded by the fact that Orton lost on SmackDown. And I think Orton will win. I don't think it will be anything resembling a great match or even a good one. We're just going to see them plod through it. And Orton, who just feels completely cold and almost irrelevant at this stage, will go into WrestleMania with a belt, and he'll perhaps defend it against, I don't know, Jinder Mahal, or maybe Jinder and Bobby in a three-way, which, again, like some of the other matches that we speculate could end up at WrestleMania from the SmackDown brand, will again be another one that will be completely uninspiring.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just leaves us with the main event. AJ Styles defending the WWE Championship in a six-pack challenge. And that's not, no listeners, that is not comparing midriffs. This is AJ Styles against John Cena, against Kevin Owens, against Sami Zayn, and against Baron Corbin, and against Dolph Ziggler. Quite what Baron Corbin and Dolph Ziggler have done to be in a WWE Championship match, heaven knows. The whole thing with John Cena just asking to be in there and getting put there. the way that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn have been portrayed. Oh my word, that absolute crying shame. You know, the way that Kevin Owens has crestfallen since being Universal Champion. So we're left with AJ Styles. And I guess more, God forbid that they decide to do a title change here. But my expectation is that AJ Styles comes out with this. But what do you expect from this? And I guess, do you really care?
Well, the only hope I have is that AJ does retain. But then beyond that, it's again a match that's just, you know, really held back by poor booking again. I mean, all the stuff with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens has just been a complete and utter failure. I mean, Kevin Owens, you know, just going back a year, was involved in really entertaining feud with Chris Jericho. One of the hottest acts in the company was Kevin Owens, and yet look at him now. Just feels like a tired act, one that's lost his way. And you know, the same can be said for nearly everyone on the roster. But
yeah,
you know,
well, not just that. Sorry, Mo, but not just that, but the fact that Sami Zayn, you know, the perennial good guy, the fact that he turned heel and sided with the dastardly Kevin Owens. I mean, that was blockbuster. That had us all like, wow, you know, well, this is going to be interesting. What happens next? And, you know, the initial thing of Sami Zayn, you know, dancing to really was irritating the fans. And he thought, ooh, you had hope. And fast forward a couple of months and it's just so disappointing. And it's such a waste, isn't it, of a unique opportunity.
It is, that's right. And I just hope that what they don't do is have one or the other of Sammy and Kevin cost each other the title win, which will then inevitably lead to yet another grudge match between the two, perhaps at WrestleMania.
On like the pre-show? You know it's going to happen. It's going to be Sammy and Kevin. On the pre-show, yes. Yeah,
opening match curtain jerkers. Yeah,
yes, and then we'll have Kevin Owens wanting to leave and go back to Japan, and Sammy's saying the same. You know, yeah. Oh my word, isn't it great? Sorry.
Yeah. I mean, and then we got John Cena, and again, you know, given Cena's involved, you'd expect certainly the match to be of a pretty high quality. It should really be the match of the night, but beyond AJ Styles retaining to therefore become the WrestleMania opponent for Nakamura. Who knows what will happen with the rest of the match and the rest of the participants. And indeed where we'll end up seeing them, you know, on the WrestleMania card. And, you know, given we're so, as I say, close to WrestleMania at this stage, to not know what so many, of the company's best or most popular talents will be doing. It is just very, very bizarre. And that is also part of the reason why this card is feeling cold and underwhelming, because there is, you know, just a general lack of direction, especially where SmackDown is concerned, unfortunately.
Yeah, there absolutely is. And it's uninspiring is certainly the word that really sums up the Fastlane pay-per-view. I mean, the only thing I could say, I suppose, is that, you know, we've been underwhelmed by so many, by the build-up to so many pay-per-views over the past year. And often they've been the ones that have, you know, really sort of overperformed and actually turned out to be pretty good. So, I mean, you think more that there's the potential here that we're surprised pleasantly and we actually turn out to get a pretty decent pay-per-view? Or do you think, looking at the card and how cold things are, that's so difficult to envisage?
Well, the thing is, I mean, the storylines are one thing and then the matches are something different. And this is where, you know, the buffoons that write the storylines that are ruining SmackDown and have ruined SmackDown over the last 9 months can only have a limited impact where the pay-per-view is concerned. The talent are allowed to do their thing and can almost override the poor quality of the storylines that lead to the matches by delivering in the ring. And you know, to that end, I certainly expect the show itself to actually turn out to be pretty decent, even if the crowd won't necessarily be really amped up for what they're going to be treated to. I think the last two matches the tag team championship match and the six-pack challenge will both be very, very good matches. And a couple of the other matches have the potential to be pretty decent as well. So overall, I'm sure it will be a perfectly fine show. But that'll be because of match quality, not necessarily because of storylines coming to the show and coming out of them.
Yeah, we will run through it, the show next week, and obviously give you all our reaction to the event. One final piece of news, then, was at the NXT tapings that are going on at the moment. It's been announced that at the NXT TakeOver event, the NXT TakeOver New Orleans, obviously that weekend of WrestleMania, that they're going to be introducing a new title to NXT. It's going to be the NXT North American Championship. I guess the equivalent of the Intercontinental or the US title belt. And the match will be a six-man ladder match featuring Adam Cole, Velveteen Dream, Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, and new NXT signees Ricochet and EC3. So your thoughts on that more than a second title belt in NXT for the men's division and a six-way ladder match? I don't know about you, but I'm more excited about the thought of you know, the prospect of that match than anything on the Fastlane event this weekend.
Yeah, no, it sounds really intriguing and interesting and potentially very exciting, and I welcome the addition of this title. I think it's a really good idea for them to have a secondary championship, given the depth of the male roster on NXT these days. So, and certainly with the names that you just mentioned, there's a couple there to get very excited about. Ricochet in particular, he's an incredible talent, and my only hope is that WWE allows him to work a style that's as similar as possible to what he has been working on the independents and Japan and, you know, other parts of the world, including here in the UK. That's certainly, you know, an act that is really, really capable of some absolutely awe-inspiring action. Some of the moves he can perform are just, you have to see to be, you know, to believe them. They're that good. I've got no doubt that the match will be, you know, again, of a really, really high standard. And, pretty pleased that they've decided to bring in a secondary championship title to the brand.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. One very final thing then before we go more. What we did see recently on NXT was the title match involving Johnny Gargano and of course Andrade Cien Almas, with Johnny Gargano having to leave NXT if he did not win the title belt in that match. And of course, we had the involvement of Tommaso Ciampa to cost Johnny Gargano any chance of the title. So by that stipulation, that means Gargano has to leave NXT. What do you think we'll see next? Do you think that means he's likely to appear on 205, or do you think this is just some way storyline? It's kind of just setting up Ciampa, Gargano in NXT, or do you see something else?
Well, my understanding is that we will still be seeing Gargano against Ciampa at NXT TakeOver at WrestleMania weekend. You know, this is obviously a match that they've been building towards for quite some time. Obviously, has been delayed due to the injury that Ciampa had been sidelined with for a number of months. But it would be strange for it not to happen. And given the fact that, you know, obviously Ciampa was involved in the outcome of that lose-lose NXT match a couple of weeks ago between Almas and Gargano, it clearly points in the direction of going with bringing Gargano back in some capacity. And that's something that might see, for example, Ciampa involved in some kind of angle with Gargano's other half, Candice LeRae. And if that's the case, that might just be the excuse that Gargano needs to plead to William Regal to come back onto the roster to
Yeah, perhaps
defend
a
the honour
one-off
of his
match.
Partner.
Yeah, perhaps that's it.
Yeah, and you know, they might decide, well, you know, he's primed and ready after his incredible match at the NXT TakeOver prior to the Rumble to step up to the main roster immediately. And so after that match, we might then see him step up to Raw, SmackDown, or even to 205 Live, because obviously they are trying to now do things with 205 Live and turn it into a more meaningful show. And in all credit to Triple H, 205 Live is now a watchable show again. And
it certainly is.
I mean, it's something I've certainly been enjoying, and Gargano would be a fantastic addition to that show.
Yeah, you may most certainly would. So yeah, there's at least there are some things to look forward to, if not a pay-per-view this weekend. Anyway, that just about wraps things up for this week's edition of the Pro Wrestling Index right here on the Anfield Index podcast channel. As we said, we will be back next week to look back on that Fastlane show, just to see how it goes. And we will discuss any other events that or talking points that take place over that time period, whether or not anything does come out about Roman Reigns, etc., etc. We will cover all of that as well. But just leaves me to thank my on-air audio tag team, God, Ben, I can't even say it, my audio tag team partner, Mo Chacha, and for us to thank all of you for listening in and hitting that download button each and every week. We really do appreciate it. You can, of course, as always, get in touch with us here at the show. We're on Twitter. We are at PW underscore index. But for now, till next week, from me, Andy Wales, it's bye-bye now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.